All right, you just heard Last Great American Whale by Lou Reed from his album New York. Before that, you heard Hannah by the Freelance Whales from their album Weather Vanes. And before that, Sea Lion Goth Blues by the Growlers from their album Hot Tropics. I'm joined in the studio this morning by two guests, Dr. Kate Stafford and Alex Ravello. And Kate, we would love to have you introduce yourself.
Hi, Meredith. Thanks for having me. As you said, my name's Kate Stafford, and I am an oceanographer at the University of Washington. I work at the Applied Physics Lab, and I study the underwater sounds that are made by marine mammals, particularly whales, in the Arctic.
That is so exciting, Kate. And Alex, can you tell us just what you're doing here in Sitka?
Hi, I am a research biologist at the Sitka Sound Science Center. And I am also the director of the Scientist in Residency program.
Wonderful. So, Kate, you are a scientist in residency at the Sitka Sound Science Center right now. Is that correct?
That is correct. I started with a bang. I came here right before Whale Fest, and I'll be here through the month of November.
Excellent timing. And you were a speaker at Whale Fest. Is that correct?
I was. I talked about bowhead whales as the jazz singers of the Arctic.
That is so exciting. And we actually have a bowhead recording to play in just a couple minutes. So I hope you're excited for that. So talking about acoustic monitoring with whales, that essentially means taking hydrophones and listening to the, well, why don't you tell us about what that means exactly? What does it mean to measure an acoustic landscape and why do you do it?
Well, so what I use are hydrophones. They're underwater microphones to listen to ambient noise, which is the noise all around us. So it includes the noise from waves, from wind, from animals, from other ships. And one of the useful things that acoustic monitoring lets us do is we can eavesdrop on the ocean 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether it's day or night, whether the sea is covered with ice or there's fog. So acoustic monitoring essentially lets us listen underwater when other methods that are more traditional, like visual surveys, aren't possible. And you can hear underwater much further than you can see. So light only goes about 100 meters or 320 feet. But depending upon the frequency or the pitch of the sound made by animals, you can hear some animals for anywhere from a few kilometers or a few miles out to hundreds of miles.
Wow. And so what can you get out of that kind of monitoring that you can't get out of something like a visual survey?
Well, as I said, you can do it year-round, 24 hours a day, even when it's dark. We can also monitor areas that are really remote, so areas that might be too expensive to monitor using visual surveys. And one of the really cool things about marine mammals is that different species make different sounds, and you can use those sounds to identify the species. So a humpback whale, which all of you here in Sitka are very familiar with, makes very different sounds from a blue whale, say, or a killer whale. And although we can't really tell individual whales apart, we can tell the species apart. So you can get a good idea of who's where, when.
And can you talk about why that's important, why it's your research focuses on, that's a big question, monitoring where individual species are at different times?
Sure. I can give you one example, and this is research that I'm doing currently up in the Arctic in the Bering Strait, which is that small pathway between the Pacific and the Pacific Arctic, and it's between the U.S. and Russia. And The Bering Strait region, or the Pacific Arctic, is one of those areas where sea ice has drastically declined over the last 30 years. And I've got hydrophones just north of the strait. And what I've been hearing now are more sub-Arctic species, so species like humpback whales and fin whales and killer whales, spending more time in the Arctic and staying later. We're also hearing that some of the Arctic species are migrating at different times. So they're migrating a little bit earlier in the spring and a little bit later in the fall. So kind of what we're doing is listening to the sounds of climate change.
Wow. And I imagine there are some difficulties associated with acoustic monitoring. Is there anything that is uniquely challenging about trying to collect that kind of data?
Absolutely. So I should say that one of the biggest caveats of what we call passive acoustic monitoring, where we just listen, active acoustic monitoring would be where you make a sound and get a reflection. So that's similar to using an echo sounder in the boat. So by just listening, the animals have to be making sounds, right? If a whale is out there and not making any sounds, we have obviously no idea that it's there. So that's one of the problems. The second problem is, of course, the instruments I use are called hydrophones that are put on moorings, and these moorings are anchored to the seafloor, and they have a big float that holds all the instruments up in the water column. But we have to keep them low enough in the water column so there's no surface expression, so that they don't get hit by ice and taken out in the winter.
Oh man, of course, in Arctic climates. Wow.
And I would say that the other big issue with the data, and this is something that I think students at Mount Edgecombe High School have experienced because they've worked with a lot of Arctic acoustic data, is you get a lot of data. You can get gigabytes to terabytes of data. And the biggest problem in my field is, how do you efficiently analyze those data? How do you synthesize them down to something useful when you have so much data to go through? I mean, I certainly couldn't sit and listen to every minute of data I have, or I would never leave the house.
That sounds like such a productive but also overwhelming way to study whales.
It's pretty cool. I mean, I have the privilege of really being able to put myself under the ice in the middle of winter and hear what's going on. And, you know, I will often just sit there in my office while I'm looking at and listening to data and marvel at the sounds that we get to hear.
Yeah, that's something not very many people get a chance to do. But speaking of that, we're going to have a chance to listen to a couple recordings. So, Kate, you were kind enough to send me some hydrophone recordings, and we're going to play two of those. So the first is a series of bearded seal trills recorded off of Utqiagvik. Is that correct?
Yep, off of Utqiagvik, formerly known as Barrow.
Right.
And these were recorded in the spring with a dipping hydrophone, which is just, think about an underwater microphone that's put over the ice edge. And in the spring, male bearded seals make these elaborate trills, which you'll hear. And we think they use them to defend a sort of mobile underwater territory, either defend them against other males or potentially to attract females. So we think it's a male reproductive display.
That is so exciting. All right. I hope you're ready to hear this. All right, that was a bearded seal trill. And next up, we're going to hear a bowhead song. And this bowhead was recorded just north of the Bering Strait. So can you give us some context for why we think bowheads make these sounds?
Right, so very similar to the bearded seals, we think bowhead song is also a reproductive display. Bowheads make a lot of other sounds during different times of the year. They'll make simple moans or groans or whoops. But in the winter and spring, they sing these long, elaborate, crazy songs. And this one in particular is really wild.
All right, get ready.
Yeah.
underwater dipping a hydrophone in the water.
Well, this one was from an instrument that was moored for over a year in Bering Strait underwater.
Okay.
So I didn't get to hear this until we got the instrument back. And you can actually hear a couple different whales singing at the same time in this one.
And you think this is also a reproductive or some kind of mating signal?
Yeah, that's what we think. And if you think about humpback whales who sing in the winter, you know, they sing in beautiful, warm, tropical waters where you can actually see the sex of the animal that's singing. And in that case, mm-hmm. they're almost exclusively males.
Oh, interesting. And do we know that about bowheads?
We don't know that for certain, but we're making the inference based on other whale species, fin mm-hmm. whales, blue whales, humpback whales, but also bird species, frogs, mice. Mm-hmm. In all of these species, the sex that seems to be making these long, elaborate, seasonally produced displays are male.
Are the males. Very cool. Well, that was a bowhead whale, and before that we heard bearded seals. And Kate, we're reaching the end of our time, but I would love to hear just about what you are planning to do in Sitka for the rest of your time here. I know that you're doing research at the Science Center, and then you have a couple of events planned. So can you tell us quickly about the research that you'll be doing while you're in Sitka, and then we'll let people know where they can find out about your events.
Sure, Meredith. So I'm here, as I said, for the month of November, and what I'm hoping to do is really dig into a lot more detail in some of the individual variation in bowhead whale songs and the within song variation. And I'm really looking forward to taking this time to really read and think kind of deeply about this singing behavior in bowhead whales.
Wonderful. And so, Kate, you will be hosting a behind the scenes at the Sitka Sound Science Center, and that is scheduled for November 15th right now.
That is correct. Yes, and so you can find more information about where to find Kate and other activities that she will be hosting or involved in at the Sitka Sound Science Center website and through Facebook. So like us on Facebook and follow Kate's activities throughout the month of November.
Wonderful. And Kate, you have one other event that is tentatively scheduled, which is a kayak trip.
That is correct. It's scheduled as a kayaking event, but it's also weather dependent, so we might need to use a bigger boat to go. But the idea is to bring some hydrophones and to listen to the sounds in Sitka Sound and hear what's out there.
Which, as any of you, if any of you have seen the bubble netting and some of the other really exciting activity in Sitka Sound, we might have a lot to listen to. So definitely check out those events. Again, as Alex said, they'll be on the Sitka Sound Science Center website and their Facebook page. And thank you guys so much for joining me. Welcome to Sitka again, Kate, even though I know you've been here. And I hope that this community kayak event works out.
Thanks, Meredith.
Thank you.